I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. When I heard it three times, I was reminded everything is established in two or three witnesses. I didn't hear it from somebody else's mouth. I heard it coming out of my mouth. But I also had an awareness that it was my spirit that was speaking, more than my soul. My soul was aware, but it was not in control. I also said to my wife after I got off the internet, and I went upstairs and we had a little bit of a lunch. I said, all the pain is back. So when I was under the anointing, there was zero pain in my body. When the anointing lifted, the pain returned. Later on Monday, I went for a walk because it was very nice out. And my usual pattern is to pray in the spirit. And I did. I kept praying in the spirit. And finally, I reached a section where there's a sidewalk. And Holy Spirit kind of invaded my thoughts. But my brain was on the challenge in my soul from these 35 years ago of watching her suffer when someone else was set free. And my soul was still pondering on that. But then I went into tongues and I kept praying. And I'm coming down a little bit of a hill. And I heard, do you realize that from that time, not one member of Irene's family went under any kind of surgery for cancer? No kind of cancer for anyone, especially cancer of the breast. Not one individual in her family could be touched. And it brought tears to my eyes because one of her very special cousins had died just a few months before Irene was hit. And I knew that it was the same spirit, the same demon that hit her. The only thing is, she didn't know how to fight back. She was just laughed at by the doctors. The doctors would say, when we see you're not that bad, you don't really need pain medication. And she'd say to me, Kim, it hurts so bad that I can't describe it. We were reasonably close. They had one son the same age as ours. And just a few weeks before she passed away, she wanted to do something that would be pleasing to herself. So she came into the store. She chose a living room set, new tables, lamps, a recliner, and new carpeting for her living room. She says, I don't want my husband and my son to have leftovers when I'm gone. So during those days that we overdid her room over, she would lay down on the couch in the family room and literally weep from the pain. And of course, that also created a mental picture for me. When Irene got hit, there was ammunition in the enemy's attack that he was going to do the same thing to her that he had done to her cousin. But when I walked down that sidewalk and I heard that the victory was for the family, that brought an awareness of Passover. Passover was a safe place for everyone who came into the family house. We had an incredible Passover this year. It was a national or an international Passover. It was probably the first time that this kind of a Passover would hit every nation, and that the celebration of the Jewish feast would be honored by the nations for the first time. Maybe not willingly, but definitely a reality. So the next level, when I came home, I shared with my wife what I've just shared with you. And you see, when you have understanding of what God is doing, when you and I resist, we're not resisting just for ourselves. We're resisting for ourselves and our family. It's a Passover that covers not just me and you. So the next level came. I got a phone call last Monday, a week ago Monday, from my sister in Montreal. And I shared that with you. Well, she's had cancer problems in her bowel lines, surgeries, attacks with inflammation, et cetera, et cetera. And when she called me, she says, I need your strongest prayer. I need it now. Her words now. My body has not had an elimination. My bowel lines are all swollen. And under normal conditions, I would be going to the hospital. But right now, if I go into a hospital in Montreal, it's like entering a slaughterhouse. Her words. So the pressure's on. There's 6 years between her and I. So I trusted the Lord to pray through me. And that was on Monday. On Thursday afternoon, I heard in my heart, there's been a change. My first reaction out of my soul was, can I call? The Lord said, no, trust me. Well, I don't know about you guys, but when I get a praise report from the Lord, I want to get it out. I want everybody to know what God has done. He didn't say, call her. He said, wait. Well, I waited. On Saturday, she called. She said, I've had a victory. It's not perfect, but I did not end up at the hospital. I had telecommunications with my doctor. Instructions were given, and I'm an extremely challenging diet, where almost no food, but just liquids. And then she begins to download into me all the family members who have had her problem. And I wanted to say, would you just please not confess those things? But you know what? You have to give grace, because where she's coming from, she's got it all figured out. She's next in line with what that cancer did to our brother, to our sister, to another one of my brothers. And then she began to name each one and how it hit different sections, etc. And I had some flashbacks because I ministered to all of them. And they all passed. One accepted the Lord, the last, maybe 15 minutes before he died, when my brother and his wife went to minister to him. So you see, I could not speak truth to my sister. I had to wait for her to download the emotions and the pressure that she's under. But she says, I'm ever grateful for the prayer. And of course, you know, Big Mouth over here is on the bottom there, Ron Lallier there, you know him? He said, without his knowledge, that definitely there would be a challenge for me in Montreal area. Well, that's where they're living, north of Montreal. I don't know if that's the place I'm going to visit, but I do know that the Holy Ghost is tattling through this guy. Okay? So now I went back again and I said, Lord, I know that you are pleased with me. For my enemy does not triumph over me. But the Passover has made it clear that the enemy's losing ground in my family and in my wife's family and in your family. For the war is not just about you and me. It's about those that you hold in your heart. You say, well, why is it so difficult? Well, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. So come with me to Romans chapter 8. Two things. There's a lot of material in Romans 8. A lot of it is very powerful. So I'm going to start at verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you live, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. Well, under normal conditions, fathers love their sons. Is it always understandable? No. Some families are different. But under normal conditions, you see, the next level we cry out to our Heavenly Father, Abba. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering. You say, it must be a misprint. Nope. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Well, I don't like the pain in my body any more than any of you. But I also know that it is making me see things from a different perspective sometimes, and realizing what Jesus went through, which is so much more than most of us understand. So, keeping that in mind, St. Paul in verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I stress the word in us. And I repeat, Paul is saying, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectations for the sons of God to be revealed. 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Well, you say, we've been through a Passover like no other this year. The nations were forced into a place of isolation, looking at death all around. They gave a report on the news about Italy and how dramatic those doctors were sharing their hearts about, they had never imagined that they would see hallways lined up on both sides with gurneys, and the people that they tried to take care of were passing away even as they walked by them. Death surrounded them. If you consider what was going on at the first Passover, all of the firstborn of the animal kingdom, all of the firstborn of the Egyptian nation were die. Whatever age they were, it didn't matter. If you were the firstborn, you were going to be released back into the realm of the spirit. You see, Passover was a very serious business for Israel, because they opened their doors to the Egyptians who wanted salvation. I know that when my sister called, she was desperate. Her heart rate was way down. She said, I can't communicate very long because I lose my energy. And as soon as I finish my prayer, she says, I'm going back to bed because I can't stay standing up. You see, she said, if I go into that slaughterhouse, I'm done. Because my immune system is so far down that any kind of a germ hits me, I'm gone. And I said to her, we're going to trust the Lord by choice. And when she called on Saturday, I wanted to say I had heard from the Lord, and the Lord said, don't. It's not going to be understood. It's not going to be something that she will be able to mentally digest. There are times that you may know something, that you may be aware that the Holy Spirit is downloading information into you, and the other person next to you is right next to you, but they're not connecting the same dots. And that's not a blame game. It's a revelation for you. It may not be understood by someone else, or it wasn't designed for them to receive it at that time. So there are times that God is going to download information because you are children and you are sons of God, sons under construction. You see, I believe that this Passover season, which was very dramatic, is a signal for us to see that there's a dramatic Pentecost coming down the highway for us. Big time drama. Is it the time where God will fulfill his word to his children and bring forth the sons in full power? It would be nice, but there's a price to pay. I've given you instructions before about those who have had a taste of what God is able to download into his creation. And I remember Rick Joyner, for one, was taken into the heavenly courts. He doesn't remember how long he was there. All he has a recollection of is when he was returned to the earth and his spirit re-entered his body. That the next afternoon, he had been on a retreat, I believe, in one of the cottages on the mountain. And when he walked into his house, his wife said to him, "What has happened to you?" And he said, "Well, I had an encounter with the Lord, and I need to be quiet." So he went into another room, and he just waited upon the Lord. Well, the next afternoon, I guess she had a honey-do list. So he decided to go to Walmart to go get what needed to be, you know, picked up. So he walked into the Walmart. And as he walked by a few people, they kept falling on the floor. One after another, after another. And of course, it was creating an awful lot of commotion. And he's wondering, what's wrong with these people? He never realized that the anointing was so heavy on him that it was causing all kinds of reactions in the store. So he ran out the side door. Came back home and realized that the anointing on him was similar to what happened to Moses, where he had to put a towel over his face because they couldn't look at him. I remind you of our Savior when he was glorified before the three, Peter, James, and John, that they couldn't handle it either. They all fell to the floor or to the ground on the mountain. Are you prepared for that? If you're prepared, you're also going to be paying a price. You say, "Well, I think I'm ready." My prayer is that he's preparing each and every one that he wants to take into that area. And that there will be grace and favor every step of the way. But he is not upset with us, as the brain tries to tell us, or that our natural mind tries to tell us. Verse 18 again. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Not on us. In us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That kind of freedom is what Rick Joyner was allowed to experience. And there were others, but I'm not going to go into details. So I want to skip down a little bit further now. Verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice it's his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. For those God foreknew, foreknowledge, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. That's your future. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. Notice it's he does the calling. Those he called, he also justifies. Notice again, he is the one that justifies. Those he justified, he also glorified. It is a work of his doing. That's at the base of the truth here that I want you to concentrate on. It's not all about you, how do you do it, how they do it, how others do it. It's important that your relationship with him allows him to do the next level. It's one level after another after another. 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who's the chosen? You are. I am. It is God who justifies. If you don't have that underlined, I would suggest you double underline it. It is God who justified. It's not you by doing this or that or running up and down, doing this and doing that, that's going to justify anything. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us? Why do we intercede? Because we're doing what the Son did. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate me from the love of the anointed? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger, or sword, as it is written. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If nothing can separate us from the love of God, that includes pain and suffering. That includes torment and destruction of all types. It also includes depression and heaviness that tries to come upon us. It also includes the tormentor and what he tries to do cannot complete its mission because you and I hold them in our hearts. We are the ones that hold the Passover lamb. We are the one that puts the blood of the lamb within us. And we will continue to do what God has commissioned us so that his plan will unfold. His grace and his favor will be multiplied. So I take you back to Psalm 41. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. It doesn't say might not. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. So, Father, I'm asking for your spirit tonight to bring this truth deeper into every heart that's listening to this message. That there will be a true awareness of God's love for each and every one of us. And that he sent his son, not because he hated the world. See, some Christians hate the world. You're on the wrong side of the fence. Jesus died that the world would be transformed and set free. That was the reason for the cross. See, every time I criticize someone that doesn't know Jesus, what am I doing? I'm bringing division. My prayer is that every single person that has mistreated us would receive intercession from your spirit and my spirit so that they can be transformed and changed in due season. When you and I have ministered to someone that cannot receive maybe the level of understanding that you and I have, intercede as the Lord leads for them. On Saturday, while I'm in the shower, I see a young man's face three times. I know him by name. He's not a part of our church, but I've had a few words for him for the past maybe 15 years. So I prayed, I interceded, and all I kept getting was disappointment and depression. So I prayed, asked God for grace, didn't have his phone number, and so didn't call. And on Sunday, it came again. It was not quite as heavy, but I saw his face again. So I interceded again and got the same words. So I knew something was going on. So when I went upstairs, I joined hand with Irene and we interceded for him. You see, he's getting married the end of this month. So on Monday, I said, Lord, I need to really pay attention because I got to get a hold of this young man because I've got to send a reply back because we were invited to his wedding. And of course, I want to send the reply, but with the circumstances of our Massachusetts situation, there's no way. So I found him on Facebook and I sent him a little message. So he called me this morning from work and said, actually, he sent me a text. So I texted back. He was at work, so we took a little bit of time to connect a couple of dots. And I said, Lord, I'd like to tell him about, you know, find out what's going on. And the Lord said, not yet. He didn't say not ever. He said, not yet. So he gets out of work at 3. So at 3:05, I get a phone call. It's him. Oh, he says, I'm sorry that I couldn't connect more. He said, but work was very, very busy. He works at a hospital, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I said to him, well, now that I've got you on the phone, because now I've got the flashback, I can see his face. So I respond by telling him what happened on Saturday and Sunday. Oh, he says, you have no idea what I went through. Everything had to be rearranged for the wedding. Everything had to be slimmed down to, let's say, at least have the wedding on that day. And then a celebration later, possibly in late summer. He said, but you know, he says, I'm aware now that it was God that gave me the peace, because he says, it was awful. I was not going too good. I said, well, was it heavy? He said, yes. Was it depression? Yes. You see, learning that it was on target comforts me, but it also confirms God's Holy Spirit will download into you when it's time for you to support someone, when it's time for you to quiet yourself down and intercede for them to come up out of the difficulty, and not to do it in English. You've got to use your heavenly language in order to get the prayer that comes out of your mouth to release the grace that's needed, because your head may not know the difficulty and the details of it. I'm sharing this to awaken you to the gift that you have in you to transform the neighbors and those that you hold in your heart. Just close your eyes now. Father, these words need to be confirmed by your Spirit. They need to be dramatically revealed as important, so that your pleasure over every one of these that are hearing this message will impact their inner man. That they will realize that the protection from God over every enemy that has tried to destroy them and those that they carry in their hearts will continue to be upheld through your grace and through your favor, and bring them into your presence. Draw them into your presence, so that they will be transformed from what they've been to what they need to become. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, let it be for your glory, in Jesus' name.